Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to American Conservative Radio. My name is Tracy Coyle. I'm going to be hosting you with you tonight. Bill Hinneman will be joining us shortly. If you have had the opportunity today to visit our website at www.AmericanConservativeParty.org, you will see that we have added a little post at the top reflecting, having a discussion about the responsibilities of the federal government. Based on a conversation that was being held over the last day or so in our chat room, the question became, what positions should the American Conservative Party hold? Now, we've had several shows about those positions that we already have posted on our platform. And the question became, what other positions are going to be appropriate for the national platform? Bill came up with a point that there are specific responsibilities associated with the federal government, and we should have positions based upon those specific responsibilities assigned to the federal government in the Constitution. Now, there are a couple ways of approaching this. In Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, there are specific responsibilities associated with the federal government. Those responsibilities can be grouped into certain categories. Now, unfortunately, I don't have them off the top of my head, but I have begun a process of grouping them on the website primarily into five areas to begin with. Department of Defense, we want to have some kind of national defense position. We want to have a place where the judicial branch deals with the legal system. Congress, the legislative branch, deals with areas associated with the operation of our country. The executive branch, handling our affairs as it applies to other countries. There are aspects that the executive, and of course the legislative branch, work together for the American people. And then what I consider to be the worst area of constitutional ambiguity, the common welfare.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening, Bill.
Hi, Tracy. How are you this evening?
Busy.
Busy?
We had
as good conservatives ought to be.
We had 9 inches of snow here today.
I wish I had your 9 inches of snow and you had my warm days.
I'd take the warm days because the plow just went by about an hour ago and dumped 5.5 feet of snow on the end of my driveway.
Oh, boy. That's a problem.
That's going to be a problem.
Yep.
One of the things I have done with that posting on the responsibilities of the federal government is to add comments. There are about 15 of them, believe it or not.
All right.
That list every department and agency of the federal government alphabetically. And
what we have done,
we have struck out every agency, department that doesn't fall into one of those five categories.
Okay.
And we've assigned those remaining agencies or departments to one of those five categories.
Mm-hmm.
So the Department of the Navy is under defense.
Right.
The State Department is under the executive branch.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. Now, what we're going to want people to do is to make comments about the strikeouts and the remaining agencies. And what I'm hoping somebody will do, frankly, because it's going to be a lot of work, is to go through a federal budget and figure out how much money we'd save by striking out those agencies.
My guess is a ton, but okay.
Well, I would suggest to you that it's not going to be as much as we would like. But
okay.
It would certainly be a way to be more efficient about the things that we need to do. Now, a lot of people are going to scream bloody murder about some of the agencies and departments that are struck out, saying we
sure.
have to have those.
Uh-huh.
But I would argue that many of those agencies can be handled, maybe redundantly, at the state level. But there's no reason for 50 states to be paying for the Bureau of Mississippi River.
Exactly.
I don't think there's actually a Mississippi River, but there is one on the Tennessee Valley Authority, which is not just the Tennessee River, but a certain amount of other things that are associated with it. And the Susquehanna River Agency, Commission, I don't know. So there's places where those agencies that affect certain things. Now, of course, there's lots of Bureau of Land Management land out in the western states, but very little of it in the northeastern states.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have a situation where a lot of that land doesn't need to be in federal hands, it can be put into state hands and let the states decide what they want to do with it. Now, there are certain things like national parks that I believe are rightly in the purview of the federal government in some way for the common welfare. But whether...
Tracy, let me interrupt you there. You need to be really careful with that because your concept of common welfare can be very different from someone else's common welfare. And when you start making a case for, oh, I think this ought to be there, and well, we'll just put that under the common welfare, you start opening up that entire can of worms that says, I can make anything fit there.
Which is exactly what has happened.
Exactly. So how do you make a case for a national park?
Well, beyond
For instance,
Yellowstone is in three states. Two states.
Yeah.
Three states. Montana,
so,
Wyoming, and Idaho.
So?
Does each state get to deal with what its part of the park?
Why wouldn't they?
I'm willing to be convinced on the idea.
Okay. I was just sounding a cautionary note there.
This is now a place for us to go in and have a discussion about those agencies and departments, those responsibilities that the federal government should have and
yes.
should not have.
Yes, absolutely.
And in the process of doing that, we can help define what areas it is reasonable or we should have positions on the national party plank.
Yes. And as long as we stick to the Constitution on that, we're going to be fine. If we can keep those issues that are federal issues at our national level, the states will then get to experiment with all of the other areas. And my guess would be that as some states will experiment, will think out of the box, outside of the box, and will bring innovation to those areas that the federal government has taken over, as they experiment and they find models that work, other states will look at that and say, you know what? I can do something like that. And that will be a continual improvement process.
There are a number of places where we have bureaus and departments and agencies that are associated with industries, statistics, keeping track of specific industry information.
Yes.
I'm of the mind that we don't need to have federal government agencies doing industry tracking.
Okay.
In the sense that an individual agency associated with an individual industry. I don't think it's a bad idea for the federal government to have an agency that collects lots of data on virtually everything as a repository of information for the benefit of all industries and anybody that wants to get access to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also looking at a large number of agencies that are probably regulatory in nature, but also information clearinghouses, that I'd rather see less regulatory output and more information output along the lines of our position in the educational area,
mm-hmm.
creating a standards for educational curriculum and educational standards as a standards-based repository, a research and standards promulgation agency rather than an enforcement and a regulatory agency. And I can
mm-hmm.
see that being used in a larger number of areas so that states can, you know, obtain best practices from other places or combine their efforts into a single institution that all the states can use.
Mm-hmm.
I see that as a valuable tool, and it is one of those common welfare type areas that doesn't apply to a particular company or a particular industry or a particular set of individuals, but rather is available to everyone that wants that information.
You know, that's a little bit like what we talked about in terms of education at the national level, that we have a group, if you will, a department that says, here are best practices, here are standards, very much like the ANSI standards or engineering standards. It says, these are best practices, these are standards. You really ought to take a look at these and follow them, and then it is up to each state to say, yes, we agree with that, in total, in partiality, or we don't agree with any of it, and here's our plan.
Right.
Yeah.
There are, let me give two examples of different agencies that do things that I think are suitable for that type of approach.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is called the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality.
And that's an actual agency that we have?
Yes, it is.
Well, boy, you find out all kinds of things once you start digging, don't you?
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Now, it would make sense to me that if this agency is designed to obtain best practices and establishing standards, that that is a good thing. If it is a regulatory agency for the health care or home nursing industry, I'm less interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think per se the government, the federal government has a need to be involved with that. Let the states regulate their own health care providers that are in their states. The other agency is the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry.
Oh, boy.
Now
is that part of the CDC?
Right. I would assume that it is part of the CDC.
Okay.
It's a separate agency, which means it has its own budget line item in the budget.
Oh, boy.
But I believe if we could take those type of agencies and shove them back underneath, you know, a single heading,
mm-hmm.
Centers for Disease,
right,
that we would have a better idea. I think it would be a better way, a more efficient way of handling it rather than having a separate agency with separate oversight, separate everything.
Yep.
If we put it back under where a single group.
Mm-hmm.
I also deleted duplicates, and I'm assuming it's just because of the way that this system was set up, where I had Department of Defense and Defense Department were actually, in fact, the same thing. I hope we don't have both.
I don't know that I would bet against it, Tracy.
So, if we can have situations where we can gain some efficiencies by having fewer agencies or putting those agencies back under the control of a single overriding agency, I think
mm-hmm.
that's a better thing.
Mm-hmm.
I also crossed out the Department of Revenue, the IRS.
Oh, really?
I did. I also crossed out Congress, but I also said that was just kidding.
Yeah, okay.
I think a vast majority of people agree that if the government was more efficient and if our taxing system was more
rational,
I was going to say logical, but rational is
yeah.
just as good a word.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't need a huge bureaucracy under the IRS. It could literally be, you know, a Treasury Department, although the IRS is under the Treasury Department. You know, it could simply be a branch of the IRS, the Treasury, just for collecting the money.
Mm-hmm.
The argument that we've had for a long time, many, many people that have argued against the current tax code, is that most people could do postcard tax returns if we simplified the system.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's one of the biggest arguments for both the fair tax and the flat tax.
Right. And, of course, right now, the biggest argument against that system, the people that most argue against it, is the home mortgage market.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, they're not in much favor with many people. So that might be something that's there. Now,
yeah.
I take advantage of the home mortgage deduction. I think a vast number of people do.
A lot of folks do. Yep.
But if my percentage was less, and it was more across the board, I wouldn't mind losing it because the net result would be a plus for me. Would it be a plus for most people? I think the only people that it wouldn't be a plus for are the people that have really, really high mortgages or high deductions.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's one aspect of it, Tracy, but there's another aspect of it too. There is a home mortgage deduction built into the standard deduction for people. And I don't know if everybody knows that, but that's a true story. My lady and I do not have a mortgage on our place. I take the standard deduction. I am therefore taking a deduction that I have no business taking, in fact, but it's the way the rules are. Are the rules crazy? Yeah, they are, but they are the rules, and I play by them.
I believe that we can obtain a certain amount of efficiencies as far as the federal government is concerned if we eliminate the loopholes, whether it be the home mortgage deduction and the tax.
Yep.
Or the agencies that, I mean, there's, this one just absolutely got my gourd. Agricultural Marketing Service.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm familiar with that one.
The Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. I actually did a little research on that one because I was kind of interested. The budget is about $5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
It has 8 people, plus it supports a commission. And the commission actually goes around and has hearings about what should be preserved. And then the council makes advisory statements about those landmarks or such that want to be preserved. It's a small amount. You know, 8 people, 8 to 12 people, $5 million, not a big deal in the big scheme of things, but of course, you know, penny here, pound there, foolish over here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those places where nobody cares because it's so small. But we have 90 of these agencies and departments out there. You know, 90 times 5 million is, you know, almost a half a billion dollars. Now, the other side of that is, besides the half a billion dollars a year, is the 15,000 people, most of them working in Washington, D.C., that would be tossed out on their ear because they no longer have a federal job.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest there are a lot of people that would be willing to support some of those agencies in a more efficient way that are willing to put out a few bucks to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do so. I, you know me, the anti-traditionalist. personally, if a building is old and decrepit, that doesn't make it a historical landmark in my mind.
No, it doesn't.
But even if it is a historical landmark and it's old and decrepit, I'm not interested in having to pay to fix it. If somebody thinks that it should be preserved, let them pay
mm-hmm.
to have it preserved. Let
right.
them pay
exactly.
to buy it and do the restoration of it.
Or if the state is interested in it, let them do something with it. But it ought not to be the feds.
Correct. It ought not to be my and your responsibility to preserve the national steeple chase racetrack first run in Kentucky.
Exactly.
Who cares? I don't care.
I mean, if that's important to Kentucky, then Kentucky will make that priority decision and they will fund that.
I did believe that agencies associated with waterways, railways, and highways were things that were good. They generally deal with commerce in one way or the other. They cross many state lines.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably good things to have.
And at least roads are specifically mentioned in the Constitution as one of the 17 things that the feds are responsible for.
But I did cross out Amtrak.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
The Congress critters will be distressed to hear that.
I like Amtrak.
Oh,
I
do
Amtrak
too.
Amtrak should be used more often by more people. It's just not very convenient.
No, it isn't.
I would use Amtrak more often, but the closest station to Madison, Wisconsin, is about 35 miles away in a town of about 4,000 people. I'm sure Columbia
mm-hmm.
is not real happy with the fact that it's only 4,000, but I think it's maybe 4,000 to 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to travel actually farther in the wrong direction to get to the nearest station to go down to Chicago. But I would
mm-hmm.
travel that, I would take that train all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's actually not that expensive to travel that distance. And it is pretty enjoyable. And I can get from those train stations in Chicago very close to my parents' house, well, within 4 or 5 blocks of my parents' house, without a whole lot of effort. There are many people in the Washington, New York corridor that use it. I understand that. But there are very few people in Colorado or New Mexico or Wyoming that get an opportunity to use Amtrak, and so I don't think they should be paying for it.
Well, not only that, but did you know that Oklahoma does not have any Amtrak service whatsoever?
I believe it.
I can tell you for a fact that that's true. Yeah.
When I left California, I took Amtrak. That's how I left California, by Amtrak. Packed up the rest of my stuff, sent it on by parcel post, and took the train back to Illinois. It was a very enjoyable
trip. Oh, that had to be a great trip, Tracy.
It was a great trip. I enjoyed
it.
I very much liked being on the train.
Yep.
Chicago has a fair amount of Amtrak commuter rail.
Mm-hmm.
It is used very extensively, and I don't know how profitable it is, but it doesn't have to be profitable as long as it pays for itself.
Right.
But I did take it out because, again, it's not a national thing. It is a much more regional-oriented thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I'm willing to see it be handled in that way.
Absolutely.
Let the 10 or 15 states that benefit most from it pay for it.
Absolutely.
So those are a few of the things that I saw in the process of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few things that I think will generate some discussion. I crossed out ATF.
Yeah.
My initial thought was it should be under justice. And there is part of it that's under justice. There's another part that's under treasury. And
mm-hmm.
frankly, I had a problem with both. If justice wants to have, if we don't have ATF under treasury, we probably don't need ATF under justice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, logically, it fits more neatly into Treasury because that is an excise tax function. As long as you're talking about the alcohol part of it.
If we got rid of excise taxes, if we got rid of sin taxes, and just went with the sales tax,
well, sure. I mean, there are a lot of ways to tweak the tax code. But the danger lies in then special interests saying, okay, if we're going to tweak the tax code, then we need to tweak it this way because that's what benefits me. I mean, they don't state it that baldly, but yet, nevertheless, that's what they mean. I would much prefer a very much simpler tax system that is at least somewhat resistant to tweaking. Because once you allow tweaking, then you get every special interest group everywhere looking for their tweak.
Correct. And we want to actually minimize that as much as possible.
Absolutely.
So there are 15 comments with many, many, many agencies for people to pick and choose. There are a place for people to expand upon our five categories, maybe closer to the 17 responsibilities, but in looking at some of those responsibilities, you know, two or three of them come under the heading of the Treasury, minting
right.
coins,
right.
collecting taxes and such.
Right, right.
So those things can be grouped.
Absolutely.
How many groups do we need?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how many groups do we need? Do we need 10 or 15, 8, 5, whatever? I also actually, and this is kind of a strange thing, I crossed out Senate and House of Representative committees.
Oh, really? Don't think you can, but go ahead. Tell me what you were thinking on it.
Well, if there, let's take the House and say that, you know, virtually every agency will have some type of congressional oversight.
Yes.
If we eliminate 95 agencies, we've probably eliminated a whole lot of committees that do oversight.
Sure, if they were specialized to those things that got eliminated, yeah.
Well, we probably, you might have a committee on commerce that has 37 subcommittees that cover,
sure,
you know, 45 of the agencies.
Right.
If we eliminate 40 of the agencies, we eliminate 32 of the subcommittees.
Yep.
And then we end up with fewer, less bureaucracy in Congress.
On a theoretical basis, that's true. But remember that the Constitution specifically provides that both the House and the Senate will organize themselves as they see fit. And that's specifically in the Constitution. So can't really
nothing
very
says
well
we can't
take that
suggest
away.
That
oh, well,
says
sure.
We can't
and you can vote against, vote somebody out of office that decides that they want to have their own little subcommittee, absolutely.
So,
or at least try to.
This is obviously not, this is an initial pass-through.
Yep.
We want lots more people involved in the process.
And by the way, did you give the website address?
I did.
Oh, cool.
Some people,
all right.
Some people weren't listening to us in the first few minutes, so.
Yeah, well.
You know, I will suggest again that it is currently at the top of the website on AmericanConservativeParty.org. It's called Responsibilities of the Federal Government. And underneath that post, that initial discussion, are 15 comments that list the departments of the federal government. And you can go through each of those lists, each of those 15 comments, and make your comments about specific agencies, whether you think that's a reasonable strikeout or whether a strikeout should be brought back up to stay in place, or whether the categorization that has been applied needs to be readjusted. There's certainly a desire to have this process updated and worked on extensively by as many people as are willing to do so.
Absolutely. And I am going to have great fun tearing down the arguments of people who want to add more.
Now, there is one that I wanted to discuss.
Okay.
Because this one actually, I have a particular point of view about it, but I'm curious as to your particular point of view about it.
Sure.
NASA.
NASA. Boy, you know, I have really mixed emotions about NASA. And my mixed emotions come about because of this. Space travel, I think, is absolutely critical to not only the advancement of humans, but the preservation of humans. I base that on two things. People look for frontiers. One of the difficulties that we have today is that our frontiers are not readily apparent, except for one. Well, actually two. One is, and in my mind of secondary importance, is the ocean. We have done very, very little in terms of exploration, in terms of how do we utilize that habitat, how do we better manage it. We've done very little there. The one that I think
agree.
Is more...
And I've actually left NOAA alone.
Oh, I see. Struck out NASA, left NOAA. Thank you, Tracy.
Before we go on,
let me make my case for NASA.
Okay.
NASA is a frontier that we actually have some experience with, that we gain more experience with all the time, and two, I think, is critical for the preservation of the human race. I base that on this. The KT boundary describes a geological event that marks the demise of dinosaurs. That happened because we got hit by a comet. And what it did is it wiped out dinosaurs and a lot of other creatures. That event is an absolute certainty to happen again to the Earth. I can't tell you when, but it will happen. If we have all of our eggs on this planet, when that happens, we will be extinct. So, that says, prudently, we need to colonize at least our solar system. We can do that on the moon. We can do that on Mars with a lot of terraforming work, which is, by the way, off-the-shelf stuff right now. We can do that with Venus. We can do that with habitats at the Lagrange points. It is possible to make sure that our species survive. And that is my case for continuing NASA.
Here's my point about NASA.
Okay.
It is sucking the wind out of commercial activities. And if it would be one of those agencies that does research and standards and information and such like that, I think that would be a great idea if it supported commercial activities, private enterprise.
Why don't you hold NOAA to that same standard?
Because we have a confluence. Is that the right word? We have an area where competing nations' boundary lines cross, and it's much more difficult commercially to be able to do that. Hold on for a second, because I think I want to invite a caller on who I believe I know resides in Virginia.
Cool.
last time I checked.
But how
evening,
are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank
you.
Hey,
you know, first off, I apologize for not catching the first 30 minutes of this show, so I don't want to repeat anything. But has anybody commented about how many people are going to be put out of work by this sort of slashing of the federal government? I mean, you guys are just heartless. I mean, this is just crazy. Look at all this.
You're right.
Isn't
I'm heartless.
Great? Isn't that great?
These poor out-of-work government servants. I mean, I just, you know, it's depressing. Now, what I love, I will comment on the NASA thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you guys a question. If you had $16 billion right now, now keep in mind, you don't know anything about space exploration. You're not an engineer. You don't have any experience with it. All you know is that somebody went to the moon 40 years ago, and we haven't been lately. And you have
mm-hmm.
$16 billion with a B dollars. Do you think you'd get to the moon fairly soon?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Now, the problem is that's the challenge I have with NASA, is that they don't use their resources, I think, really as efficiently as they probably could.
I agree.
But that's because they're a government agency, and that's what government agencies do. They use their resources very inefficiently. I will say, though, is that there is not, at the current, right now, there is not a profit to be made in space in the short term.
That's right.
And there isn't. I mean, people have thought of many different ways. I mean, the last one I saw was, you know, Cosmos selling Radio Shack advertising. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
I mean, come on. I mean, I'm all for a free market, and I really do want, you know, the evil company to be exploring space like an alien. But I don't know that in the short term that's going to be possible, because we don't know how to make money from space right now.
What do you mean by short term? What do you mean by short term?
What I mean by short term is what a corporation would mean by short term. Like, for instance, if you're let's say you're an oil company, okay? Actually, what I mean by short term, you know, a corporation would mean by long term. But if you're an oil company or you're a resources person, you're a mining company or something, and you're going to put money into something, you're going to have a turnaround of less than 10, 15, 20 years, whatever the number is. There has to be a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
5 to 8 years.
What's that?
5 to 8 years.
Okay. What is the profit opportunity?
It would cost somewhere between 15. It would cost between $15 and $20 billion. But a profitable return can be made in 5 to 8 years.
With what?
Solar stats.
Solar what?
They are
satellites that
take sunlight and beam it down as energy.
You know,
microwave energy.
Microwave.
I've heard of that before, but I've also heard that it's not insanely feasible, but I could be wrong. I haven't been the space nut probably in the past 5 years. I've been really behind in that realm. So, do you guys know whether that stuff has actually been proven to be feasible? Or
I have heard
5 to 8 years. That's what it would take based on current technologies. 5 to 8 years, $15 to $20 billion to put 8 of them in geosynchronous orbit.
The knock that I have heard on it comes mostly from environmentalists worried about three things. One of their worries is that the amount of collection area that you would need could, on a theoretical basis, shade and thereby lower the temperature of the Earth.
That
seems kind of far-fetched to me, but I've never run any numbers on it. So I don't really have an opinion other than it doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, these are the same people who are saying that, you know, greenhouse gases are cold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The second argument I've heard is that, oh gosh, what are we going to do about those microwaves coming down to the Earth, to the receiver station? They will kill anything that gets into their path.
Oh, the birds might be hurt.
And if an airplane flew through it, et cetera, et cetera. And then the third thing that I have heard is the whole EMF spectrum radiation at the receiving station.
Okay.
None of them do a whole lot for me.
I encourage you all, everybody that's listening, and Bill and Butch, to, if you're interested in there, to do a little research. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it here today.
Yep.
It is something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible, Butch, to commercialize space in a reasonable way with a reasonable amount of money in a reasonable period of time. It's one of those things I've had for a long, long time. The dollar is, the question is, and, Hilton Hotels said they'll build a hotel if you can get cost to $4 a pound.
Ooh.
Launch costs $4 a pound, they'll build a hotel.
Okay.
Now, you understand, $4 a pound doesn't sound like a whole lot, but the current price runs around $1,000 a pound.
Yeah, it's about $800, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
So we've got a long way to go in that regard. But if you could get NASA out of the way, and right now NASA is the big bear that's creating lots of problems, then I think you'd have greater control. If you just talk to Bert Rutan, some of the things that he's had to deal with as far as getting his vehicles up and the fun he has with
mm-hmm.
NASA and the environmentalists,
yep.
you get an idea of some of the problems that are associated with. In any case,
I'm going to enjoy our discussions on that one versus NOAA there, Tracy.
I think that the challenge with NASA, if you're to look back over the last 30 years of the space shuttle kind of nonsense, is that NASA has sort of two missions, and one of them they've been extraordinarily successful at,
mm-hmm.
and that is advancing science and technology and, et cetera, et cetera. And Lord knows, we've had a lot of advancements based on what NASA has done, starting with, the moon, Mercury, all the way through to
mm-hmm.
through the International Space Station. The problem is that makes great press, but it doesn't solve the number one issue. And the number one issue is we need to diversify our
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember several years ago reading these different lists, and they were lists of reasons why we need to explore space. There was a top 10 list, it was a 5 list, it was a 3 mm-hmm. list, and somebody had a 1 list, and the 1 list was from Stephen Hawking, and it was preservation of the human species. That is the number one, relevant reason to explore space. And if we do not do it, then,
That was Bill's point. Bill
yeah,
made that
and
point.
And I agree 100% with that point. And I think that just like anything else, just because it's something that needs to be done doesn't mean that it's something that needs to be done by government. But
exactly.
And that's kind of Tracy's point, I'm sure, but until we can see that there is movement on the commercial side, I am not opposed to the federal government spending money on space exploration, as long as, and maybe this is heresy given all the slashes, but I think they need to separate themselves. One section of NASA could focus on the science and the advancement of technology and et cetera, and feed the other one, and the other one needs to have the mission of get our asses on the moon last Thursday now.
Yep.
Because there needs to be a sense of urgency there, and if there's not, then they need to just stay home and let the private sector do something if they can.
Agree.
But what I'm saying is, and keep in mind that putting those satellites to collect solar energy ain't going to diversify our, that's not going to get people off the planet and colonizing either. So the efforts that are required to colonize space and colonize moon and colonize Mars and colonize et cetera, none of that I can see profit in it right now. And maybe there will be one day. But in the meantime, anything we can do to advance that cause, I think, is a worthy investment of federal and international governments. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that if you get a chance to go through all these agencies, you will come across a section called National Laboratories. And most of them are under the Energy Department. And some of those names would be familiar to you if I started rattling them off. The national labs have been around for a long time. Many of them were originally nuclear development labs, nuclear energy, nuclear power, nuclear weapon type such. They diversified as the government began to be less forthright with funding, but the labs didn't want to close. In some cases, they opened themselves up to working for private corporations doing research for them. We have a pretty good history in this country of supporting corporations having significant basic research labs, Bell Labs, Park Labs, many other labs that did wonderful research. Those labs, for the most part, are gone. They're still there in certain regards, but they're far smaller than they used to be. The national labs are security problems for their work. They still do a lot of government work, but I think the national labs have a value as a repository for basic information, basic research. I believe they should be kept in place. To the benefit of a great number of places. I would like to see more private labs like the Bell Labs built, and I've seen proposals for that, but the government kind of eats up a little bit of that. Go ahead. Who was going to say something? Bill?
Well, actually, I was going to say, you know, if we talk about them as being repositories, like the Library of Congress is a repository for books and art, and et cetera. We already have the basics of that because most all of that work that is being done at the university level.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's being done with the universities paying those labs to do the work. I'll give you an example. We've got a lot of fusion research going on in what's the lab in New Mexico?
Sandia.
It's completely lost me. I don't think it's... Well,
isn't it
yeah,
Sandia?
Sandia has Tomahawk facility. And it's the University of California that pays most of the researchers and operational expenses. It's run by the University of California. But it is a national lab.
Well, but Sandia is also a Department of Defense facility.
That's correct. So
yeah.
you've got part of what you're suggesting. There's part of private, part
mm-hmm.
of university type. There is some corporate involvement in there, and there's a lot of federal work there too.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that, you know, NASA could be one of those places. It could do the basic science for space and leave the commercialization, you know, to commercial enterprises, but share the information that they're learning, you know, become one of those space research labs.
Sure.
Instead of an actual...
Although there will always be a need for government-run research, if only for Department of Defense purposes.
Yeah, and that's where the NASA thing kind of crosses over, too. I mean, you know, NASA and the Air Force have a relationship. You know, I mean, that's there's, you know, security satellites, there's all kinds of connections between defense and NASA as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's not just science, it's also defense. It's and that's a rather more of a shady issue where then you're talking about, well, you know, do we militarize space or do we not? I'm thinking, you know, sure, you know, if it gets us off this planet quickly, I really don't care how
right.
we do it.
Well, and I think we will militarize space the second we find out there's somebody else out there.
Well, yeah.
I know that there's other people out there.
Yeah.
I use the word people very loosely. I know there's others out there.
Well,
personally,
China is going to militarize space. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and they're already doing it. So, yes, we should. And the only reason we got to the moon in the first place is because we were competing with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that's going to prompt us to get to space again as a country, as a government, is competition with China. So if that's the way it happens, that's the way it happens. But it can't be short-lived this time. It has to be something that we carry
on. Well, the
on.
Problem is China is already competing with us. We're just kind of ignoring them. Kind of like
to our detriment.
It's kind of like the fanatical side of Islam. They've been at war with us for a while. We just tend to ignore it.
Well, that has nothing to do with space. China's you know, making moves in lots of ways that we're ignoring, not just space, but space is just a component of that.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Anyways, I'm going to, again, we have about 3 minutes left. I'm going to again encourage people to look at the post on AmericanConservativeParty.org, to look at the very long list of agencies and departments, to make comments about those agencies they feel should be struck, maybe should not be struck, how they should be grouped, maybe adding another group to the list. There is a place now for people to discuss not just how we want to see limited government be, but as a party, how we want to decide what positions to take. Because Bill, you were perfectly correct. There is a place for us to have a discussion about positions for the American Conservative Party. They should be on those areas that we believe the federal government should be working.
Should have a role.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think, and not to get on party issues, but I think if we were to beef up our platform, it would be on the area of foreign policy in general. I think there's a lot that we're talking about there. You know, whether it be foreign aid, whether it be, the classic should we be the cops of the world, et cetera, et cetera. Those are conversations that we should be active on.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree. I think the only limitations that I would put on it is, if you're going to propose something, you better be able to point to the Constitution and say, and here's where the federal government gets its authority to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, and if you can't find it in there, then it's a state issue or a people issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to encourage our listeners, however many there may be, to come join us on the website, contribute to this conversation, talk about where you see the constitutional responsibilities of the federal government, look at the lists, and say, yeah, that's right, I agree with that, or no, that isn't right, I don't agree with that, and here's why.
There you go. Looking forward
There's
to
the
it.
Music.
There's the music. Enjoyed it, guys.
Okay, Butch,
thanks
good
Butch
talking
for joining
to you.
Us.
Y'all have a great night.
You too.
Bill, have a good night, enjoy your warm weather. I'm going to go out and see if I can...
Shovel snow?
Dig out a driveway so that TJ can go to school tomorrow. She got
good.
The day off while we got the snow.
Yep. Good luck with that, Tracy, and don't wear yourself out doing it.
I quit earlier because of it.
All right.
Have a good evening.
You too. Good night.
Good night, everybody.